So for the last 4 weeks or so, we have been journeying through the book of James. We're trying to discover, putting the pieces together, puzzling out what it means to be church. So far in this series, we've uncovered ways to become a blessing, make a difference, speak with love, and today we'll reflect on what it means to be at peace. The book of James is very special in that it talks practically about what it means to be wise. The message in James is clear. Our perception of faith is not what matters. It's how we practice our faith in our everyday lives and are truly impactful in the world that makes a difference. Speaking to a divided congregation, James is challenged with putting the pieces together in a valiant attempt to unify the congregation and create within the people a desire to seek heavenly wisdom, not selfish personal gain. James defines earthly wisdom as self-absorbed and destructive, whereas divine wisdom is a special revelation and life-giving. According to James, the forces of evil come from within us, resulting in conflict. If we as Christians seek to do God's will and seek divine wisdom by maintaining self-control and pursuing self-awareness, then we will be at peace. We're not called to set ourselves apart from the world, however, use heavenly guidance to live in the world, not of the world. So please listen now for the word of God in James 3, 13 through 4, 3, and then verses 7 and 8. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but earthly, unspiritual, devilish wisdom. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and you don't have it, so you commit murder. You covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. If you will please stand, and if you are in the sanctuary, you can turn to page 495, It Is Well With My Soul. If you are visiting online, you will see a link dropping into the comments. Please click on that link, and let us sing joyfully and happily and peacefully. You may be seated. Will you please join me in a spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. In our scripture reading from today, James opens with a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? We may know a great many people who are smart and business savvy and accomplished by all the world's standards, but are they wise? Do those individuals exemplify the characteristics listed in the second half of verse 13? A good life shown by works carried out with gentleness born of wisdom. James further elaborates on those qualities that demonstrate divine wisdom. In verse 17, he offers attributes such as pure and peaceable, gentle and willing to yield, full of mercy. Unfortunately, those characteristics do not appear synonymous with how success is defined by the world. But that shouldn't surprise us, as it didn't surprise James when he was speaking to his divided congregation. For James, earthly wisdom is selfish and unspiritual, creating conflicts and disputes. However, for those who tap into wisdom from above, they will be at peace, near to God, and a guiding light of inspiration for those of us who seek the truth. Maybe you know someone who's a messenger of divine wisdom, who places God's ways above earthly desires. I did. And her name was Ellie. It was the Sunday before Holy Week in the spring of 2019. Oh, those lovely days pre-pandemic. Reverend Jenny had placed a large wooden cross here to the right of the pulpit and instructed the congregation to write a special request to God on a piece of paper that was provided, and then place it at the foot of the cross. As she mentioned it, I shuddered because I knew what I needed to write, but I feared the outcome. Hand shaking, I wrote, "Courage to do what I need to do." The backstory being, for years, God had been tugging at my heart to become a minister, but earthly wisdom always seemed to get in the way. By earthly standards, it was illogical to leave a long-term teaching career and, as a middle-aged woman, embark on the lengthy and difficult journey of seminary and ordination. After the service, I lingered in my seat, right over there, with that crumpled piece of paper in my sweaty palm. Dear friend and faithful congregant Ellie Rapucci noticed the trepidation on my face and inquired what was wrong. Realizing that my friend had been struggling with health problems, I suddenly felt embarrassed to share my story. Who was I to share my story with this person who had real problems that she was dealing with? But any of you sitting here or online who knew Ellie can attest to the fact that she was not one to give up easily. She kept urging me. And so I tentatively told her of my fears, fully expecting to hear that I would be crazy to attempt something of that magnitude at my age. but that's not what happened. Her response to me was, just do it. Such an Ellie comment, right? Just do it. Now, that surprised me, not because it reminded me of the iconic 1988 Nike commercial, but because that very same phrase was hanging by our family computer at home. Just do it, and eventually the confidence will follow. This is a quote by Carrie Fisher, and any of you who are Star Wars fans like my husband is, you know her better as Princess Leia. Well, my husband, who is an aficionado of Star Wars, had hung this quote above our computer to encourage and inspire me. So when I heard, just do it, I knew in that moment it was God who was speaking to me through Ellie. I thanked her. I stood up and I placed my crumpled, sweaty piece of paper at the foot of the cross, and then I went home and I applied to seminary. Today, I'm now fully entrenched in my third year of seminary, and as I prepared for the sermon, I realized that God had been trying for years to get me to just do it. But I needed to hear it from my Christian friend and divine messenger in that moment in order to have the courage to act on something that truly resists human earthly logic. Ellie and her prophetic sharing of wisdom changed my life forever. At times when I feel myself getting very weary, I remember Ellie's patient resilience and her faithfulness. Despite her physical pain and earthly suffering from illness, she put aside all those personal challenges to seek God's kingdom and display an internal peace that even with her earthly situations, she was able to be at peace. This blessing of peace certainly defies all human understanding, doesn't it? So how many of us need to yield to the words of my sage friend and just do it? Maybe it's that phone call that you were going to make to a lonely friend. Maybe it's that volunteering that you keep putting off and you've thought about countless times. Or possibly it's using your own divine wisdom to be able to create a peaceful, more unified world. If we make the decision to look to guidance from above, it seems important to create chances for God to speak to us. Adopting a spiritual practice, possibly, such as regular meditation and prayer. That's the perfect opportunity for us to be still enough to take the time to listen for God's quiet, still voice that's speaking to us. As a church community, if we're willing to do what's necessary to prepare our heart and mind for the spiritual work that needs to be accomplished, we can act on making a difference in the world. And then, as James promises, we can experience a good life and a peace-filled life. As James mentions in verse 18, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. James's message to his congregation and to us is to seek heavenly wisdom by living out our faith with love and with kindness, with humility and a gentle spirit. For James, it's not what we think that really matters. It's what we do. He's calling us to just do it for God. turning away from worldly desires, reaching to the heavens for divine wisdom, and then acting on those revelations for the good of all people. Our masterful and omnipresent Creator is speaking to us every day, whether it's through our pastors, our church family members, and yes, even the world and the events of the world. It's our responsibility to listen for that divine wisdom so that we as a church can fit those puzzle pieces together and work to make the world a better place. And then ultimately discover the beauty of inner peace no matter what our circumstances. Just like Ellie. Amen. If you would please turn in your hymnal for our final closing hymn. It's 523. And those, again, who are joining online, there's going to be a link dropping in for you. It's